The prophet Isaiah was standing on the edge of life. It felt to him like everything was about to change. Isaiah was a priest in the temple in Jerusalem 742 years before the birth of Christ. In other words, a long time ago. Back then, government was not complex. You either had a good king or a bad one. The land of Israel had had a good king for 52 years. His name was King Uzziah. And you don't get to reign for 52 years back then without being solid and smart and generally very savvy. But Uzziah had just died. And Isaiah was wise enough to know that the empire of Assyria was looming over them, ready to destroy them at any moment, that his country was vulnerable, and he was afraid. He's standing in the temple where he spent every day, and he has this vision. In the vision, he sees what he calls in Hebrew the Master, the Lord. But the Master is so big that only the hem of his robe fills the entire temple. Can you picture that? The hem of the Master's robe filling this entire cathedral? That's one large figure, right? The Master is huge. And above him there are these angels, seraphim, the highest form of angels, theologians would later decide, with six wings. With two they cover their face, with two they cover with their feet, and with two they fly. And they're hovering above the Lord of hosts, and they're singing the words that we sing in the Holy Eucharist every Sunday. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth are full of God's glory. And the pivots shake. And the house is filled with smoke, which is one reason why we often use incense in worship, because Isaiah saw smoke everywhere. And because in the book of Psalms it says, let my prayer be set forth in thy sight as incense, O Lord, let it rise to the heavens. So Isaiah sees this blinding, overwhelming glory, and he falls down and he says, oh Lord, I'm completely overwhelmed. I'm completely overwhelmed. I am just an idiot. I have unclean lips. I've said stupid stuff. I've lied. I've made mistakes. And I come from a people of unclean lips. We've all made mistakes, and we've all done terrible things. Who am I even to be here? One of the angels takes some tongs and takes a live coal with the tongs and puts them on Isaiah's mouth. I've always wondered if that burned him. And then this huge God from out of the heavens says, who will go for me? Who can I send to the earth? And Isaiah, who's overwhelmed and terrified and otherwise feeling pretty inadequate in every way, as anyone would in the face of that kind of glory, says, here I am. Send me. My husband Chris has a phrase that he says when he goes into the ICU to take care of very sick children. Sometimes people will ask him, "How do you do that?" And he says, "I say to myself over and over again, Christ has no hands but mine, no feet but mine." And in the gospel, Simon, who would later become Peter, is doing his thing. He's fishing. That's what he did. And they fished at night because that was when things were cooler, so the fish would come closer to the surface. So what they would do is they'd go out on Lake Gennesaret or the Sea of Galilee, and they would go out into the deep waters, and they would throw these heavy nets out, and then they would pull them back. And they hoped to catch the fish in the nets. But this night, all night, they threw out their nets, and all they brought back was a lot of seaweed and junk and no fish. I don't know if the fish were too hot to rise or just in a bad mood, but Simon was frustrated and exhausted, and he'd been pulling the net and throwing it out all night, and he comes back to the shore, and he's on the shore, and he has to lug these heavy nets onto the shore and then wash them of all the crud that they've accumulated from the bottom and muck. So he's cleaning the nets. And the master comes. But all he knows is there's this guy coming, followed by a huge crowd, and the crowd is pressing in on him. So he says to Simon, "I'm going to get out in a boat. Would you push me out a little?" And I bet Simon's saying, "Dude, I'm busy here. Plus, I'm exhausted." But he gets in the boat, hauling his net back in, pushes out from shore. And Jesus teaches the people from the boat, which is brilliant, by the way, because water carries sound, so it was a great acoustic. And because the people couldn't follow him into the water. But you get no sense that Simon really listens to anything that Jesus is saying. He probably was too sleepy or exhausted. But then Jesus says, "Go out into the deep and cast your net again." And Simon says, "I've been casting my net all night and I haven't caught anything, but okay." You can see him just kind of sulking. But he pushes out into the deep, throws out the net, and it's so full of fish that he can't pull it back. He has to get James and John to come with the second boat just to haul the nets in, and then there are so many fish, they have to divide them between the two boats. Jesus knew how to get at Peter. It was with fish, not with words. When Peter really sees what's happening and how many fish there are, he falls down. And it's funny, it doesn't say at Jesus' feet, it says at Jesus' knees, which means I think Jesus was sitting in the boat. And Simon says the same thing that Isaiah said. He says, basically, "I'm overwhelmed. Go away from me. I'm a sinful man. I don't deserve to be anywhere near you." And Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. Come on with me and I'll make you catch people." When we stand on the edge and it feels like things are changing, we get overwhelmed, don't we? Overwhelmed. We have a whole new government, everything is changing so fast, and we're overwhelmed, no matter what we think about anything. But being overwhelmed is a great place to be, because God meets you there on the edge. The best stuff happens. I just got back from the most wonderful trip to India. I don't even know where to begin to tell you about it. I'm going to do a big slideshow at the Dean's Forum in a couple of weeks because there's so much to say. I got to witness the most beautiful faiths of the world, the Hindus at the Ganges, the Buddhists where Buddha preached. But today I just want to bring you to my last day because it was the best day. I had already seen the homes for the dying where Mother Teresa and her nuns took care of people with such grace and where the people had so much joy. They were just lying on cots dying and they were full of joy. We laughed, we prayed. But on the final day, I got to go to her tomb. I'm not much for tombs. I mean, I know the Catholics are really into them and relics and stuff, but for me, I wanted to see her ministry, and I did. So I thought, well, this is the final day, I'll go to her tomb. Well, I got to her tomb, and I don't know what happened, but I could not stop crying. I was on my knees at the tomb, bawling my eyes out like some kind of a fool. When I finally got up and wiped all the snot off my face, one of the nuns came up to me and she said, "Would you like to come up to our chapel and pray with us?" My tour guide later went nuts and told me no one has ever been invited up to this room with the nuns before. He didn't know that was a thing. We went up these stairs into this room that had this light coming in from windows. And the nuns were there and they were adoring the sacrament. They had the host there with the beautiful monstrance, golden, and they were sitting. And in the back, there was a little statue of Mother Teresa, because evidently when she went into this chapel, she felt overwhelmed and unworthy, so she sat in the back. And I thought, if she felt overwhelmed, good grief. I mean, where am I supposed to sit? You could hear the noise of Calcutta below us because Calcutta is so loud. I don't know why they honk their horns all the time. And they're not mad, they're just like talking to each other. And then there are cows wandering around and chickens and goats and people yelling and selling things. And so there's all this racket, but we were above it all, on the edge. It felt like we were listening to the whole world. And I've never felt so inadequate and so full of peace in my entire life. When Isaiah was so overwhelmed was when God said, "Who do I send?" And Isaiah said, "I guess me. There's nobody else here. I guess I'm all you've got." Here am I, here are my hands, and here is my feet. I have no idea what you want me to do, Lord, in the face of all this craziness, in the face of the noise of the streets of Calcutta and the craziness of the world, but I'm here, and here are my hands, and here is my feet, and every moment I give to you. And God will meet us, my friends, on the edge. This is where the good stuff happens, so don't be afraid. Because we're going to go and we're going to catch people together. I have no idea how or what it's going to look like, but I know that this is where we're supposed to be, right here, right now, you and me. Singing praises to God. Amen.